Hello and welcome to first podcast of the NFL From Across the Pond. I'm Tim Clark and I'm here with
Matt Torrington.
How you doing, Matt?
I'm good. Cool. Excited.
Nice. This is our first one we're doing, and we're going to do a draft review of the teams in the AFC. We're going to look at the NFC next week. So we're just going to try and go through the teams one by one, just look at kind of how they've done in the draft, what their needs were, and how they've filled those gaps. We're looking at doing this podcast just to have a bit of fun. We're both fans from the UK. Matt's been following the sport for how long, Matt?
About 8 years.
8 years. I'm a little bit newer to the sport. It's only my
newbie.
Second team. Yeah. I'm a newbie. But really, really got hooked on it, and really looking forward to kind of following the season right from the beginning, from the draft right through, which is the first time I would have done this.
So what got you hooked, man? What team are you following? What are you getting up to?
Well, I'm a 49ers fan.
Niners.
Some might say a glory hunter, I don't know.
That's right. I don't think it's a coincidence this year, man.
No, I followed them before this year, though, but I've spent a bit of time in America and got some friends there, and San Francisco is a place I've been to a couple of times, and had more affiliation to the city than anywhere else when I was picking my team. I liked what they were doing when I kind of was researching different teams, so I stuck with them, and pretty pleased with my pick, and definitely grown an affection to the 49ers.
Nice, boom.
Had a good first season to really follow it this last year. Obviously, a bitter end, but...
Bitter end. Exciting times, though, man.
Exciting times indeed. Yeah, what about you, Matt?
I have to say, talking about glory hunting, I'm a bit of a New England fan, primarily just because it's got England in there, you know? I got a bit of family in Boston, but I'm not going to say that's my main reason for it. It's all about New England. Came in for to watch the initial New England versus Philadelphia Super Bowl. It just got me hooked from there. Rodney Harrison, Ty Law, flipping Teddy Bruschi. Just an immense team. Trying to pick up the remains of it now, though. I think we're doomed. But we'll come to that later.
So there you have it. Two glory hunters.
Boo, let's crack on.
Nice. So we'll just go through the teams this week. Just have a chat about the draft selections. Matt's the one that knows more about it than me, so I'm definitely going to be probing him for his thoughts more than trying to offer too many of my own, because I don't want to sound like a complete idiot.
Yeah, we're all thankful for that.
So let's start with the AFC North then, and the Super Bowl champions. Baltimore Ravens. What are your thoughts on how they've done in the draft, Matt?
I think I was disappointed, I got to be honest. I was really disappointed. I mean, I appreciate that they filled their needs. They did exactly what they needed to do. But they've just signed Joe Flacco to this huge deal. Huge.
Massive.
Just over $100 million. $60 million guaranteed. You would think, let's go out, let's spend a bit of money, and let's go and get him a playmaker. Let's go and get him someone he can chuck the ball to and really take this team to the next level. If you're going to invest that much in Joe Flacco, I think you should be investing that much in what you're surrounding him with. But they didn't. You know, they were sensible. John Harbaugh, composed as usual. General manager got in there and chose Matt Elam. Matt Elam out of Florida. I think it's a good pick. Number 38 on the big boards, roughly between 35 and 40. On most people's big boards, and I think they picked exactly where the talent was and where the need was. Ed Reed gone, so they filled a need, and that's all I can say.
Yeah.
That's all I can say about that one. And again, stepping into round two, getting the inside linebacker, you know, grooming a potential fill-in for Ellaby and for Lewis. They took care of their business. But it doesn't excite me.
Doesn't excite you, but will that not mean that the Super Bowl champions are just going to come back stronger? I mean, they've already won the Super Bowl with Joe Flacco and what he's got around him. So obviously it's done the business to an extent. And if they're strengthening their needs, then it's only going to make them a stronger team.
Yeah, I mean, but And you're right, you've got to look at where the strengths of this team lie, and I think the strength, despite what they've lost, still lie in the defence. It's a defensive-minded team.
Yeah.
That they were not ideal in defence last year, and I think the offence actually put up... they were averaging about 30 points in the playoffs, 30, 35 points in the playoffs. I still think, though, going forward, Joe Flacco isn't a good enough quarterback that you can afford to skimp out on him.
Sure. Okay. There you go. And any kind of observations down the rounds? Any of their other picks? Anything that kind of stands out as good or bad?
I'm loving Rick Wagner. I have to say, Wisconsin, he's a big bloke. He's going to come out. I mean, I don't know if he can push Michael Orr, but Brian McKinney is on the older side of old. I'm not even sure if he's still there. But on the older side of old, if they have re-signed him, I think he could really do the business in a year or two with filling that need on the offensive line. You know, and I'm loving white guys out of Wisconsin. Just loving them. Just more white guys in cold places. Just bring them out. Bring them out. Line them up. That's all I can say.
Cincinnati Bengals, then. Exciting team on the up at the moment, it would seem.
Again, I mean, how many tight ends do they need? Jermaine Gresham a couple of years ago, I'm a bit tainted because I'm an OSU alum and he came out of, he's a Sooner, he's an Oklahoma Sooner. But then going out, Tyler Eifert, he's good. He's a great player. Great player. And he will suit a need in terms of expanding that offense to make it more exciting, mimicking what they've done in Baltimore, mimicking what they've done and are continuing to do in New England. I think this two tight end set is the future, so they're investing. They are investing in what they can do offensively, and they've got to surround Andy Dalton with weapons. So in that respect, the more people you can take away from focusing on AJ Green, the better in Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. So they are they're doing the job in terms of what they needed to do. You know, I like the pick. I'm not over the moon with the pick because I think they have more glaring needs. But I can't go to the Baltimore Ravens and slap them around for filling a need, and then go to the Cincinnati Bengals and slap them around for being flashy. I can't do it. So I got to say, I like the pick.
I like your integrity there, mate.
Yeah.
Giovanni Bernard, running back. What are your thoughts on them adding a running back in the second round?
It was a bit early for Giovanni Bernard. You know, most boards had him go in, you know, late 60s, early 70s. I think you could have waited. You know, I would have... If you want to pick him, that's absolutely fine. I think he can be an attribute. I would, you know, but we talk about value for your picks. When you're getting down to that area, you're talking about value. You don't have to pull the trigger there. You can trade down, get yourself an extra third, get yourself an extra fourth, add depth to your team and still get the player that you want. That would be my only criticism. I think he's a good guy coming out of North Carolina. It's a good pedigree. But that would be my only criticism of that pick. I think they could have waited. I tell you what I am excited about, though. The guy coming out of Texas A&M, that team, Texas A&M, I got to see him in action a few years ago, and they were a train wreck when I saw him. So to see what they've done, you know, there with Johnny Football at quarterback, and just, I think it's a really exciting team, and any player you can get out of Texas A&M at the moment, I think will be an attribute to your team. So coming in the fourth round, Sean Porter, I think that's a great pickup.
Great. Cleveland Browns didn't have much to play with.
They didn't.
Which
can't,
is not ideal.
Not ideal for a team that
really need to add some players.
They need depth. They need players. And you know what? Trent Richardson's great. Brandon Whedon's okay. Got to see him live. I'm not keen on what they're doing. I mean, offer me your perspective. Cleveland Browns, man. They're a team. They haven't had a winning season in, I think, since Derek Anderson. Derek Anderson, for that 1 year, I think they finished 10-6 you know, the quarterback, big arm quarterback, then the journeyman, and how they can go season to season to season without ever filling or even looking like they're going to gain any potential.
I mean, they don't seem to be doing enough to address their obvious needs or their struggles. They don't really seem to be doing much from what you can see.
That's it.
And it just kind of leaves people scratching their head going, well, you know, you see other teams that have had losing seasons and you can really see them making big efforts turn it around with either draft picks or other changes.
So. You know, it must be one of the most depressing occupations in the world, being a Cleveland Browns fan, knowing coming in every season you're going to be picking in the top 10 and you're still not going to get anywhere. You know, I love Trent Richardson. I love Trent Richardson to bits. And I love Barcavius Mingo. I think he is a great pick. A great pick for them. But will he be the guy to take them over the hump? Absolutely not. They have got glaring needs.
One guy's not going to do that.
Across the board, it's nonsense. It's nonsense how they can keep sacrificing themselves.
I'm sure any Cleveland Brown fans will be particularly touched to hear you really care for them. It must be really nice knowing that a Pats fan really does care.
That's right. You know,
for
and
teams
if,
that don't know what it's like to win so often.
Yeah, I mean, like I say, when we get to the New England Patriots, we'll share a new light on that. But obviously, if Cleveland Brown fans are actually excited about the coming season, I would love to hear from you. We're on Twitter, we're on Facebook, we've got the email at NFLFATP. Tweet us. We're on Hotmail. It's NFLFATP@hotmail.co.uk, and search for NFL From Across the Pond on Facebook. Send us in your questions, send us in your thoughts. Any Cleveland Brown fans out there that are actually excited about this season, I would love to hear from you. Please tell me what you think. Tell me why I'm wrong. Just do it, because I can't see you going anywhere except top 10 picks again, I'm afraid.
There you go. Steelers.
Harsh words. Harsh words
indeed. Steelers then, wrapping up the AFC North.
The AFC North. And you know what? Again, this is a need-filled draft.
Yeah.
You know, I don't see any excitement there. Let's draft for the sake of the best player on the board. I see drafting for need, and that's good. And that's how you build a team. That's how you build a consistently successful team. You know, you look at the teams that have pulled big and missed. You know, the Jamarcus Russells from the Oakland Raiders a few years ago. Mm. You know, all through history, is the times teams trying to play big and missing. And you can't do it that way. So, you know, Pittsburgh, they filled their needs. You know, draft an outside linebacker with James Harrison gone. Drafting running back with Rashad Mendenhall gone. It's more needs. It's more needs. It's more needs. Do I think they filled it with talent, though? I'm not overly sure. Le'Veon Bell, if that's even how you say it, Le'Veon Bell, from Michigan, I'm not impressed. You know, drafting him, what number? 48, I think, he came out. He was bottom end of the top 100, top end of most people's big boards. You know, coming out number 9,500 on some boards. He wasn't even on some boards. You know, I think that's a real reach for that guy. A guy that's running east and west, trying to get to the outside. And, you know, defense is just quicker in the NFL. He won't be able to do that. I'm really, even though it fills a need with Rashad Mendenhall gone, I'm not impressed with that pick.
And what about Big Ben getting hammered year after year? I actually only found out he was 31 quite recently. You look at the guy and you think he's late 30s. He moves. Obviously, he's been hammered throughout his career.
Hammered.
And he continues to be hammered. Obviously, there's looking at who they picked, they haven't really addressed that at all, though.
No addressing of that issue there. And I think, you know, the thing is with Big Ben, they haven't invested huge money. You know, he's not earning the big, the Joe Flacco money. He's not earning Tom Brady money. He's not earning Aaron Rodgers money. they haven't invested that much in him. And I think actually they are looking to the future. Big Ben's been in trouble. He's waved his willy at people. He's, you know, he's still an immature person. I think they are looking for the future. He hasn't, he's won them a couple of Super Bowls. And as such, I think I'm a Big Ben fan. I got to be honest, but I think the Steelers are actually looking past him and will be investing in the line in the future rather than now.
So they're looking past him. Are they looking at Landry Jones, fourth round pick out of Oklahoma?
I don't think you can look at Landry Jones and say he's a fix. I think you can look at Landry Jones and say he is serviceable when the inevitable happens and Big Ben misses half the season. Right. You know, you look at what they've had the last few years. I think Landry Jones is as serviceable as any others that they've had.
Couldn't be a future franchise quarterback for them.
I think he's too small. I think he's too inconsistent. I like the guy. I would like nothing more than for him to be the face of that franchise. But it's just, you know, if Colt McCoy can't make it in this league, if Tim Tebow can't make it in this league, I have no doubt that Landry Jones will be a career backup.
There you go. AFC.
Let's move on, man.
East covered. Thoughts mainly from Matt. Love to, as Matt said, hear from you if you're a fan of any of the teams in any of the divisions we're going through. If you've got differing opinions or you want to add to it, please do get in touch. We'd love to hear from you and read it out next week. See what people think, where they disagree or agree. So it's NFL FATP, NFL from across the pond. We're on Twitter, we're on Facebook. We got a Hotmail. Do get in touch.
Let's crack on South, man.
That was the NFC North, wasn't it? Sorry,
that was
AFC South. I'm getting all my letters and directions mixed up.
That's all right. That's the
AFC
lovely.
South. Let's go with.
Let's go South. Let's go to Houston. Beautiful airport. Beautiful part of the country.
A beautiful airport.
Beautiful airport. That's all I can say about Houston.
So if any of you live in Houston and want to tell us what else is about Houston, please do tell
please
us.
Please enlighten that
as
me.
Because well, Matt knows their airport is great.
Yeah, it's beautiful, beautiful. I'm loving their draft. Absolutely loving their draft. I think DeAndre Hopkins from Clemson, I love Clemson as a school. I think they raise great players. I think that's a great pick because Andre Johnson is getting on the older side of old, but he is still, I think, one of the top five receivers in the league. If I was drafting my fantasy team, I would have him on it every time. And I think to draw some of the attention off of him
really gives opposition something to think about now, doesn't it?
It does. It's beautiful.
And I guess Hopkins, DeAndre Hopkins, has got an absolutely great opportunity to learn from one of the best. Right?
That's it. That's it.
You know, he's going to be mentored, hopefully, and really kind of his game will develop.
Yeah.
More than if he was to go somewhere else where he was much more relied on or there wasn't a wide receiver in front of him.
That's it.
He's really leading the way.
Yeah, that's it. He doesn't have to go in there and be the man. He doesn't have to go in there and have all the weight on him. He has to go in there, learn, and draw some of the coverage away from Owen Daniels and Andre Johnson. Genius pick. Genius. I really love the fact that they did that.
Anything else standing out down the rounds? With any of other picks, anything you think they've missed out on? Or
I mean, I think they focused a lot, or they focused two of their picks on offensive line, and I think you can never have too many linemen. You know, they're going down all the time, they're moving all the time, and I think it's one of their aging positions. They've got a strong offensive line with some really, really good players, but like I've said before, you can't have enough depth. And I think to focus on that side of the ball is really good. Other than that, I don't know much about DJ Swearinger. I got to be honest, Swearinger, even if it's that's the way you say it. I mean, South Carolina guy, 60. I'm looking at mid 60s on most people's big boards. Again, a bit of a reach, perhaps. You know, I think most people had a third round grade on him, but if he comes in and fills a need and can play ball, let's do it. Let's go.
That's it. The boards may give an indication, but a team might just need someone, and if he fits the bill, then
and you know what?
That's what they've gone for.
With all due respect to myself, I think the scouts in Houston have far more insight than I do. So, you know, I'm going to trust their judgment over mine.
It's very humble of you to admit that.
Sorry, I'm nothing but humble.
Okay, cool. Indianapolis Colts.
The Indianapolis Colts.
Obviously, last year had the big one, the number one, come in a bit lower down. They've obviously had a more successful season this year with Luck coming in and doing a good job for the Colts. What have they done to keep on improving that?
They picked my favorite player in the draft. If I was number one, I would have picked this guy. I love what he does. He is a beast. He is the guy. Bjorn Warner, I think he was from... Is he Hungarian? I think he's Hungarian. I'm going to throw it out there, say he's Hungarian. If people want to get back to me and say that I'm completely wrong, then please, please do. I think he's Hungarian. I love this guy. I think he's an absolute machine. High motor guy, will never stop playing for your team. And with Dwight Freeney now moving on, I think he will come in. And he's a completely different player to Freeney, but will fill that gap, will fill that void just with presence and motor. I love that pick. Love it, love it, love it. Can't say enough about it. Hey, and that's all I got to say on the Colts, man. You know, they didn't address necessarily their running back needs. I'm not sure that Kerwin Williams out of Utah State can come in and fill the number one running back spot. But Arian Foster didn't even get drafted, and look what he's doing now. So, you know.
You never know, don't you? And it's, well, as anyone will agree and say, you can only really judge it a couple of years down the line.
Three years down the line, man. You know, when they're going into their third, fourth years, that's the only time you can judge these draft picks. But looking at it, it could be a value pick. He could be the next Arian Foster. We just don't know. But I wouldn't say that they've necessarily addressed a glaring need, actually, because I think they need to take some of the pressure off of Andrew Luck.
The next Arian Foster, you heard it here first.
Yeah.
Jacksonville Jaguars.
Our team, man. Our team. Come on.
The team that are trying to break the UK market, really trying hard at the moment. You know, they've cleared out their backroom staff. They're making huge changes across the board in that franchise. Really seem to have done some soul searching since the new owner Khan came in. And well, they're obviously going to try and see what they can do in the UK marketplace in terms of growing the fan base. But first of all, let's talk about what they've done on the pitch.
You can't call it a pitch, man. Oh. You can't call it a pitch. It's a field. It's a field, man.
I'm not American enough.
Yeah, British. We all have pitches. That's fine. It's good. Luke Jokel, like I said earlier in the draft, pick up Texas A&M players. I'm actually surprised that he didn't go number one. I think he is the more solid day one starter than Eric Fisher, you know. But does he have as much upside as the other two? Lane Johnson coming out of Oklahoma, Eric Fisher coming out of Michigan State. You know, he is the more solid day one starter. So when you look at Jacksonville, they drafted Eugene Monroe a few years ago. They drafted Eben Britton, and neither worked out particularly as they wanted them to. We have to hope now that Luke Jokel has that mean streak and can protect Blaine Gabbert or Chad Henne or whoever it is that's going to play quarterback for their team. Do you fancy the job?
Tim Tebow definitely isn't getting that job. We hear.
Oh, really?
See, what a shock.
We haven't talked about the news particularly. I think, though, that would be a great pickup for the Jaguars. It's a team that needs to enthuse their fan base. Who better than Jesus himself?
It would bring that fan base absolutely alive, wouldn't
yeah.
it? It would put the Jacksonville Jaguars, I think, in this country.
Yeah.
They keep talking about how they want to grow a fan base here. What better way in signing the most popular, well-known football star in the league,
yeah, yeah,
and putting him all over the UK as well as Florida and beyond.
And the thing is, you don't even need to play him. That's the beauty about Tim Tebow. You don't even need to play him. Just have him on your roster, stick him out for a couple of PR stunts, and it will increase your fan base twofold. But I just don't get excited by Chad Henne and Blaine Gabbert. And so, yeah, like I say,
Tebow does get you something to to get excited about, whether it's his ability or something else. But either way, he gets people excited, doesn't he?
Do you know what's really interesting? I think is that actually, despite this being a draft show, the fact that we're talking about Tim Tebow and the Jaguars just proves how dull they are. Proves how glaring gaps they have in their team. You know, when they come over, I'm going to support them. I'm going to get my Jaguars jersey. I'm going to get I'm going to get out there and flag waving. We need to get behind our home team. But am I excited about the fact that it's Jaguars? I probably want someone else, let's be honest.
And I'm sure they know this, but Jaguars, it won't work. You need to call it the Jaguars in the UK.
You do. Jaguars.
it's too alien for us.
Two aliens.
Us simple Brits.
You know what? We bloody built the language. We are going to use it as it's supposed to be. It's aluminium, it's Jaguars, it's all those words.
And I promise this will be the last time that we have debates about whose language is better.
I don't promise that.
So anything else, though? I mean, all across the board, they need to bring the talent, don't they?
They've got two...
This has got to be... I mean, they obviously haven't addressed the quarterback position. You've already expressed your doubts, but... I think they surely see this as a longer term plan than a 1 year fix, and it's probably worth holding out for a quarterback that they really can build a team around.
They have too many. Like you said, they have too many needs to be filled with one draft.
It can't be all addressed.
No, it's a long term plan. I think with the Tebow thing, all joking aside, it will enthuse the fan base. You know, I think they. You can't be too quick to discount them. And you know what? They were sitting there, second round, first pick. You're sitting there. Geno Smith is still on the board. You won't have to pay him through the neck. It's the second round pick. Just go out and make the move. You cannot be that settled on Chad Henne and Blaine Gabbert that Geno Smith isn't even worth a punt.
So they're at the top of the second round. Yeah, I guess though they, as I said, maybe they're looking to wait for a quarterback they really want.
You know, but he himself was waiting, you know, to be picked. He thought he was going to be a first round pick himself. He fired his agent this week because he wasn't a first round pick. You know, and you hear talk at the beginning of the draft process, he could have gone number one. He really could have gone number one, especially when the Chiefs got rid of Matt Castle. You know, like I said, I just think it was worth a punt, sat in there at the top of the second round. And again, I'm going to bow to the Jaguars scouts' infinite wisdom, but I would have pulled the trigger on that one. You know, you've got to enthuse the fan base somehow. You've got to fill the stadium somehow. How else are you going to do it unless you're filling the names, you know, filling the roster with big names?
The big playmakers, as it were.
Yeah, that's right.
And Tennessee.
Tennessee. Don't want to talk about Tennessee. Dull team. Dull draft. Chance Womack, offensive guard. Yeah, he will fill a need. Great player. That Alabama offensive line, you're going to see a few more off that line coming out over the next couple of years. And best offensive line, probably they could have beaten out most NFL teams in terms of the strength of that line. So Chance Womack, you know, and if he helps Chris Johnson get the running game going, then more power to him.
Can we expect anything from the Titans this year?
No.
Nothing at all?
Nothing. They haven't solved their main issue, which is that their quarterback isn't as good as they think he is. Jake Locker isn't the guy they thought he was going to be until you address that. Until CJ2K actually becomes CJ2K again, you know, I think they're going to be an 8-8 team. They're going to be 7-9, something along those lines. You know, they could be a good team in a couple of years, but they aren't this year. No chance.
There we go.
Let's move on.
Let's go west.
Go west. Go west, Denver Broncos.
I was really hoping Matt wasn't going to sing that.
You know what? I'm going to sing more and more as this process goes on. You've got to get used to it, my friend. Sylvester Williams. Again, don't know a lot about this kid. They picked him at his grade, the bottom of the first round. You know, and it's going to fill the need. It's going to fill a big need across that defense. But the guy I do want to talk about is Zach Dysett coming out of Miami, Ohio. I think it's a really interesting pick because you can just see it as depth, just see it as them chucking another guy into camp to see, say, go on, compete. But the next question is, have they already lost their faith in Brock Osweiler? And do they have enough faith in Peyton Manning's mechanics now and his build since he's been injured that, you know, they can afford to be losing these, you know, to be losing these picks or spending these picks on quarterbacks that aren't going to function? You know, surely if you have lost faith in Osweiler, then you need to go back and pick a guy earlier. So it was an odd pick to me. You know, I'd like to get, what do you think? Do you think the Broncos are just, are they going for depth, or are they genuinely concerned that Manning's not going to make it through the season?
Well, I think that either way, they need to be looking for the future. I mean, yeah. Peyton Manning's not going to go on forever. He's already missed a season 2 years ago. Two years ago at the Colts, and even if he has one more great season in him, they really need to be ready to bring someone through. And they picked him up. Maybe this guy's going to really, really learn and really turn into something quite special and be what people didn't really notice. But yeah, it's going to be one of those ones. You're just going to have to wait and see what unfolds there with the quarterback situation.
And this is my question. If they're looking to the future, shouldn't you, the logic dictates you should try and pick up someone earlier. You know, Brock Osweiler, huge guy, huge. But in terms of mechanics, in terms of his accuracy, in terms of actually playing quarterback in the league, if he's not your guy, when are you going to go out and get one? You know, that would be my question for the Denver Broncos draft. You know, it's not a bad draft. It's not a bad pick. It's just an interesting one for me. You know, at the very, very bottom end of the draft, they could have taken a punt on anyone, and I guess that's what they're doing here.
Yeah. So Kansas City, their number one overall pick.
Yeah.
They went with Eric Fisher. You mentioned earlier you would have maybe even seen Luke Jekyll at your number one, but either way, they were most people's favourites to be right up there at the top, weren't they?
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean, it was 1A and 1B. You know, you're looking at Eric Fisher, raw, rough, ready to go. Luke Jekyll, his mechanics are better. He's, like I said, more pro-ready at the moment. Eric Fisher, though, I think has enormous upside. I made a mistake earlier. I said Michigan State. It's actually Central Michigan. I think he will be the better player long term, and I think that's why the Chiefs took him. He can go in, compete. He will start day one. It will be his job going into camp. It will be his job going into preseason, it'll be his job going into the regular season, and it'll be his job for the next few years to lose. Like I said, rough, ready to go. I think he's got enormous upside, but I think it will be 2 or 3 years before he reaches potential, whereas Luke Jekyll could come in day one and be as good a player as any in the league.
And third round picks then.
Yeah.
Running back and a tight end, Travis
Kelce.
Our pronunciation might not be that great of these American names.
Travis from Cincinnati, let's put it that way.
and Noel Davis, two potential playmakers. Have you seen much of them? Do you know much about what they can bring to this team?
I can talk about pedigree. You know, you're talking about Arkansas pedigree. They raise exciting players. They raise exciting running backs. Met someone from the University of Arkansas. Unfortunately, he was a couple of years before Noel Davis came in. But they raise exciting players in Arkansas. You know what? And they are loading up. Jamaal Charles is coming back. You know, that's a good thing. But he's now got support in case the worst happens, like last year, and he has to sit out the season. You know, Dexter McCluster isn't your solution at running back. I think that's apparently clear by now. So getting this pick is loading in talent on the place that's going to put up your points, you know, because their defense is poor, But it's the stronger area of their team where they're struggling is to put points on the board. So you need as many playmakers as possible. It was a great draft. Great draft for the Kansas City Chiefs. And when you got number one, it's nearly impossible to miss. It's been done, for sure. We've seen it across the years. But I think when you've got number one, when you've got the depth of draft that you've got here, I think you're always going to be onto a winner.
So how are Kansas City Chiefs going to do this year? Are they going to be collecting another high draft pick next year?
They'll be collecting high draft, but they won't be number one. I would stake my house on that right now, is that they won't be number one next year. They're too good for that. They were too good for that last year. I think injuries and one thing after another with them really plagued them. But Andy Reid going in...
Does a team give up to make sure they get the number one pick when it gets to a certain point in the season?
Well, that was the thing last year, wasn't it? Suck for luck. You know, whoever... I think once... This year, it wasn't so much of a big deal because, like I said, it was 1A, 1B. If you're going to be down there, it's so deep, this draft, that you're going to be able to pick up talent. And I think these men are men of pride. You're not going to be rubbish just so you can get the number one pick. And you have to spend more money on them as well. It's better for everybody if you're winning. Let's put it that way. But, you know, the AFC West is the most inconsistent division in the league. If there's going to be a division where you can turn it around in a year, it's the AFC West. So I wouldn't be too disheartened if you're a Kansas City Chiefs fan.
Okay. Oakland Raiders, then.
Oakland Raiders, now's the time to be disheartened.
Bad times for Oakland Raiders, isn't it?
Bad times. It's always bad times for the Oakland Raiders.
They gave up their number three pick, is
number
that right?
Three.
And they
yeah,
gave
number
it up
three.
For 12 and a second round, which we'll come to in a moment. Why do you think it's such bad times for the Raiders? They haven't... They're keeping with their quarterback.
Yeah, they're just not a good team. They are just not a good team. You know, you can't... DJ Hayden is obviously... I can't even say obviously a good player. You know, because the book on him is yet to be written. There are too many question marks, I think, to take him at 12. And the Oakland Raiders have had a history and a tradition of doing this, is taking players way before their spot. Now, ultimately... they did the smart thing by moving down, but you could have moved down again and picked this guy up. Now, they filled a need in their secondary, probably their most glaring needs, and that's good, that's fair enough. But they've just, like we've said with a few other teams, they've got too many needs to be filled with one draft. And I still think they're reaching on players. I still think they're trying to pick players who, you know, are way above their station. And it went down into the second round. Menelik Watson. Now,
is that not a thing that happens when you're losing, when you're struggling as a team in general? You grab a lot more, don't you? Whereas you look at some teams, the teams that have been successful for a number of years now. And they just seem a lot more... It's almost like they're relaxed about it. They'll wait for the players to come to them. Where is that not just the way it goes? And it's
the way it goes, but it smacks of desperation. You know, that's the problem. And, you know, you can try it once, perhaps. But when it goes wrong, with like Jamarcus Russell did, like it's done a few other times, Rolando McClain, you know, moving on... When it keeps going wrong, you've really got to go back. Now, with Al Davis unfortunately passing away, and the change of almost mentality, changing of the guard there, you know, you really got excited actually about what the Oakland Raiders could do, because this kind of Al Davis was a brilliant bloke, but over the last, you know, 5-10 years of his reign, he really clouded over that drafting process by lording it over and saying, getting the players that he wanted rather than players that the team needed. And so the last few drafts, you were thinking, yeah, this is the time when actually they could really build something. And they just haven't. They're the same old Oakland Raiders. And again, like the Cleveland Browns, it must be so disheartening for a team to go in each year knowing that you're going to lose. You know, and for Oakland Raiders on the blue collar side of the bay, you know, the working class, the factories, for these guys who earn their wages, batter themselves day in, day out, to just go and see their team, it must be, you know what, again, I'm going to say it's one of the worst jobs in the world being an Oakland Raiders fan.
So we can't talk about the Oakland Raiders. You mentioned our boy
Menelik Watson,
born and raised in Manchester.
We can't see he's our boy because Manchester's like miles from here.
Yeah, we are Southerners. You might have told
Southerners
been able to tell from our accent.
The country bumpkin.
I think we can call him our boy, considering he's up against the whole of the USA.
Well,
at the moment.
That's it. That's our boy.
So what? The first real talent to come into the NFL from the UK.
First real talent, it's difficult to say because there have been guys kind of born in the UK and then raised in the States. And again, love to my boy, but I think it's a reach. I do think it's a reach. But I want him to succeed. I want to see him succeed. I'm gutted that he went to the Raiders. You know, I want to see him on a good team. I want to see him in a team that's going to win. Because, you know, I want to see success, and the more players we get from the UK going in being successful, the bigger it'll be over here. We need something to get excited about. But yeah, so like I said,
will we hear about him now for the rest of the season? Lost in a losing Raiders team.
Oh, yeah, lost in a losing Raiders team. That's, you know, he's just going to be stuck on the line, getting beaten up by a team that aren't supporting him.
But like any true plucky British underdog, would he have it anyway?
Well, it's
way?
An underdog would story. He have it anyway? That's right. It's an underdog story. So if he's gonna win, they need some Brits on there. True underdog story. Come back, and you know what? That could be the Oakland Raiders' saving grace.
As long as when they make a film about him, they give him an American accent.
Absolutely, yeah. It's gotta be. It's Hollywood.
And then going down south to sunnier climates. San Diego.
You know what? DJ Fluka. Again, a reach, I think. And that seems like my favourite term throughout this whole podcast. I think it was a reach. He's a good player. But you could have got more value for your pick. You know, I know this guy well because we scouted him. New England scouted him. So I know him well. And he's a really athletic guy, big guy. Don't think he's pro-ready, but he fills a massive need for the San Diego Chargers. You know what? Phillip Rivers will be counting his blessings tomorrow.
So if Fluka was a reach at number 11, was Manti Te'o a steal or a big win, a big gain?
Huge.
Was he dropped down into the second round purely because of the controversies and the poor showing in the combine? That's. But
I think it was more. That
seems like a fantastic addition to the Chargers team, and I mean he'll be happy. There's been a lot of talk about obviously his personal life and the fake girlfriend. We've all been there. Mainly when we were like 13, but
yeah, that's right.
But, you know, the controversies that surrounded him, to go down there to the San Diego Chargers, and it's a good fit. You know, he's not going to be talked about. He hasn't even been talked about as much since he's gone.
No, absolutely.
And I think he'll be able to get on with his football down there.
That's it. That's exactly right. And where he got drafted, it gives him the perfect opportunity just to play football. He doesn't need to come in as a number one pick and being the man. He just goes down there, plays his football, like you say. And I think what really lost it for Te'o wasn't the combine, it wasn't the girlfriend thing, it was his showing in the championship game. He got dominated by that Alabama line, absolutely destroyed. You know, we've spoken about Chance Womack earlier on in the podcast, and he just got annihilated by that line. he looked sluggish. He didn't look on the ball. His movements were so rigid. And he just got destroyed. So I think that's what really did it. Coming up against players who are now pro-ready and now in the pros, didn't look top quality. And I think that's what really sent him down the board.
So it'll be interesting to see how his start to an NFL career turns out then.
It'll be really interesting to see how he holds up. I think he needs to put on some bulk if he's going to survive in this league.
Let's go to the AFC East. I wanted to keep them last just for your sake.
For my sake.
Patriots fan, we'll come to them last then, shall we? We'll start with the Buffalo Bills. Another team that need attention all over the all over the field, don't they? And they've had a good draft by the looks of it.
I love it. I love what the Buffalo Bills did. They took a shot. They took a pop. EJ Manuel first rounds.
No one was expecting him to be first quarterback taken up.
I don't think, they're Ryan Nassib, they're still there. They had Geno Smith still there. But I love it. I love the pick. He fits what the NFL is going to at the moment. Can the Buffalo Bills emulate that? Is that the right market for him? I don't know. But actually, I love the fact that they took a punt on him. I love the fact that they've still got CJ Spiller and EJ Manuel. That's a great backfield. That's a threatening, quarterback, running back team. I love it. I love what they did. And I love Robert Woods. I think he was overshadowed at USC by Marquise Lee, and Matt Barkley. And I think that coming out, he will be the most pro-ready and actually the most productive receiver out of the two. Hearing Matt Barkley speak this off-season, and hearing Robert Woods speak this off-season, actually, a lot of the USC plays were designed for Marquise Lee. It isn't that Robert Woods wasn't as good. It wasn't that Robert Woods wasn't productive. They were aiming the ball at Marquise Lee. I think that Robert Woods is actually one of the most pro-ready receivers in the draft, and I was really excited that the Buffalo Bills picked him up.
So will the two link up right from the off?
I think they've got to. I think
you get a quarterback in the first round, you've got to put him straight in there. Really,
yeah, you got to. You take him in the first round, and that's the way the league's going. And there's no one for him to sit behind. Let's be honest about it. There's no one for him to sit behind. But I think now you look at the Buffalo Bills, EJ Manuel is a threat. Regardless of what you think about his accuracy, regardless of what you think about him as a pro quarterback, he is a threat. CJ Spiller, home run hitter, could go any play. And then Stevie Johnson and Robert Woods at wideout. That's a threatening four. That is a really intimidating four to have. So like I said, I love it. I love what the Buffalo Bills did.
So looking up for the Bills a little bit then, but they're obviously in the AFC East.
Yeah, AFC, sir. But I think they can contend this year. That's the thing. I think they can contend with the other teams in the division, because I see New England on a downward trend. New York are a mess. Miami, they're going to be 8-8, 9-7 team again. So Buffalo can compete. I'm really, I'm excited about what they can do this year.
Let's talk about Miami then. They made a splash going for trading up to number three. Excuse the pun. Don't think it was a shock though, was it?
I think it's a shock that they pulled the trigger. They haven't been a team really that's done that the last
normally
few years.
A bit more conservative.
They've sat there, waited for their player to come to them. So they obviously saw something in Deion Jordan that everybody else saw, and thought this is the guy that's gonna help our team. So let's pull the trigger.
And he could be an absolute asset for the Dolphins then, couldn't he?
Yeah,
expect him to be.
Yeah, alongside, I don't know what they're doing with Cameron Wake, whether they're going 3-4-4-3 and how they're going to line up. But the two of them on the same team, it's going to be fireworks. It'll be great to see. They're going to get after the quarterback, and if the last few Super Bowls with the Patriots have proved nothing, it's that actually you can beat the Patriots by getting to Tom Brady, and that's exactly what the Dolphins are drafting for right now. They're going to draft to compete, and that's what you have to do in this league. It's, again, I'm not excited about it because I think it's really going to affect the Patriots, but for the Dolphins fans, it's a great pick. Great pick.
So the Patriots then, you reckon they're on a downward slide?
They're very young. Very young team at the moment. Defense across the board is very young. Offense is weaker. No Wes Welker. Rob Gronkowski is unhealthy. I think he's going to...
Definitely struggled towards the end of last season, didn't he?
Yeah.
Getting out of the team.
Struggled towards the end of last season. Struggled towards the end of his first season. I think he's going to be a serial injury concern.
Which would be a massive shame considering the talent he is and the plays he's able to pull out of the bag for the Pats.
And it'll be a huge issue because they were staking a lot on him. They've built their offense around him. And even the loss of Wes Welker, I think, is geared because they've got Rob Gronkowski and Aaron Hernandez. And if Rob isn't there, if Gronk isn't there, I mean, we saw him at Wembley this year. What a bloke, what a beast. He dominated the St. Louis Rams.
He was having a lot of fun out there,
for 60 minutes. you know what? And I've never been as impressed with an individual display as I was then. Celebration and all, it was genius. And I don't see anything to make me excited about the New England's draft. I don't think they made themselves better at any spot. You know, Harmon coming out of Rutgers could potentially start, but I don't think he's a good player. Dobson in the second round was a reach. You know, I don't see anyone there that's actually going to make this team better. I don't see any starters. I don't see anyone making this team better going forward.
Added a lot of depth in there, though, I guess.
But when you're losing starters, you don't need depth. You need replacements. Yeah. They weren't able to get Emmanuel Sanders from Pittsburgh on restricted free agency. So there's still glaring holes in this team, and I don't think anyone out there still on the free agent market that's going to be able to fill it. So
more of the same from the Patriots. Do what they do well, extremely well, and hope that's enough.
And that's it. That's exactly it. You know, we're always going to be able to compete because we've got Tom Brady, and he will win you games on his own, regardless of the talent around him. Whether he's able to win enough on his own this year, I think they'll still win the AFC East because the rest of the teams around them are rebuilding. But I think it's going to be a lot closer than people might think.
So, New York Jets seem to be rebuilding, but they seem to knock themselves down every time they do put a part of the wall
out. They're their own worst enemies.
So, they got rid of one quarterback that came with a whole media press. And is Geno Smith another one that's just going to add to the circus that is the Jets? I mean, he's already sacked his agents because he wasn't in the number one. Is that, what does that say about a young guy coming from out of the draft?
It's always going to be a circus in New York. You know, Rex Ryan is a circus all on his own. You know, Mark Sanchez coming out of USC was always going to be a circus. And now Geno Smith should have been the number one quarterback gone. But...
So it's their third pick, though. Their third pick.
Yeah.
That's a steal, though.
Oh, for sure. For New York, it's great. For the New York Jets team as a whole, and as adding talent to their roster, it just takes them to the next level. It spells the end for Mark Sanchez. I don't expect Mark to be on their roster longer than a year. I think if they go on a streak of more than two or three losses, he will be replaced, and then he won't be on their roster next year regardless.
So he'll be taking the first snap.
Yeah,
you would still think, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I don't think you can put Geno Smith in first snap and win, and I don't think they would do that to Mark Sanchez, but I do think this spells the end for him, you know, professionally.
And would he have gone already if he wasn't costing them so much money?
Yeah, again, that's another thing you have to take into consideration.
They had to get rid of one of the quarterbacks, and would they have actually kept Tebow, maybe, if the price tag was the same?
They didn't know how to use Tebow. I think that's what they learnt that this year, if nothing else. I mean, they fired Tony Sperano, and they learnt that they didn't know how to use him. They didn't have the weapons to be able to use him. I am disappointed with New York that they didn't really go out and get a running back. You know, I think Sean Green isn't their answer. And I don't know what you're going to do beyond Mark Sanchez, Geno Smith, Santonio Holmes, if he's going to be there for the whole season. He probably gets suspended again. You know, I don't know what you're going to do at running back that's going to support these guys and take some pressure off.
Good bit of business on paper, is it? Cornerback, though?
Leave
us out.
Yeah.
Cost them a lot of money. Injury prone, or was getting injured.
Yeah.
And they've obviously brought a first-round cornerback in to fit that slot straight away. That looks like a good bit of business.
It's a great draft. You know, the first three picks are all, I think, will be home run hitters. You know, Demon, great player. Alabama, that defense, like I've said, or I've said about the offense, but the defense as well was outstanding across the board. And I think probably, you know, Sheldon Richardson, I don't know what he's going to add in terms of value, but first round grade, first round player, I think, you know, he can make a difference. So the first three picks are brilliant. And if I'm a New York Jets fan, I'm not, I hate the Jets, but if I was a New York Jets fan, I would like what they did in this draft. I would still be concerned about the circus and about how actually effective these players are going to be in the system that they're going to be put into. But it'll be exciting to watch anyway.
It'll definitely one of the ones to keep an eye on.
For sure. As always.
Don't know how it's going to go. Yeah.
That's it. That's it. That's always the excitement with the New York Jets. You know, you just never know what and how they're going to be.
Matt, thanks for your thoughts. Certainly.
Yeah, no, thanks.
Certainly seemed, hopefully covered the fact that I don't know very much.
Hey man, we're all learning, and you know what, it's just going to be exciting season. I'm really excited to start doing this.
And so the NFL is, as the American football as a sport in the UK, I mean, since I've been following it for a few years now, and it's just grown every year, and more of my friends are getting involved. I mean, I got involved because of your passion largely. Yeah. I've got a few of my friends that are kind of picking into it because I'm really into following the NFL now. Are we going to see just more buzz about it as time goes on?
You know, I think we will.
Two games, obviously.
Two games this year.
In the autumn.
Yeah, we're supporting multiple games this year. We're going to see if we can support a home team. I think that's the big question. The next few years will hinge on how accessible the UK is for perhaps a franchise, or, you know, the popularity will always grow. In terms of the progression, though, we might have hit our ceiling if people won't set aside...
buy into a particular team.
That's it. They need to set aside their loyalties for a game.
So, can the Jacksonville Jaguars, then, can they break this market by being the nation's number two team? You said it, I said it. My first team will remain the 49ers. Your first team will remain the Patriots. But I imagine both of us are going to pick up the Jaguars as a team that we're going to follow as our kind of number two team, as it were.
Yeah, sure.
I think up and down the country, football fans are going to be doing that. Will that be enough for them? Maybe
that could
work. It's got definitely a different dynamic to say football, British soccer in this country, in terms of following a team, isn't it?
It is. And you know what? I think we only have to support them through 8 games a season.
Exactly.
If they were going
to
come over.
We're not having to buy in, week out for 38 games, are we?
That's it. You know, we need less than 80,000. I don't think it's sustainable at Wembley. But we've got the Olympic Stadium. We've got a couple of other potential stadiums.
Well, the Olympic Stadium seems to be out now that West Ham have agreed a deal with it. West Ham Football Club.
They can still use it. I think that'll still be a multifunctional, you know, stadium.
Well, I hope so.
We've invested enough money in it that it should be. You know, we need to look around to see how sustainable it is, because I don't think we can support 80,000 for 8 games for the Jaguars. I just don't see that as a realistic possibility. But in terms of...
Encouraging that we can support 2 games, though, this year.
Oh, for
that's
sure.
That's great that it's sold out so quickly,
and it's
isn't
all positive news. But we need fans. We need the British NFL fans to lay down their alliances for this one game. Really get behind the Jaguars as the home team.
Make them a home team. Because, I mean, we were there for the Rams-Patriots, and
it's 50-50.
New England were the home team. It felt like if you were looking at the shirts on, the jerseys, the cheers, it was more for the New England. I mean, you had a number of people that maybe, love to hate New England for obvious reasons, and they were getting behind the Rams, but it wasn't because the Rams were the home team. It was because they were up against New England.
Yeah, that's it.
So we really need the home team to really be a home team.
Yeah.
Obviously not this year. They're playing the 49ers. But...
yeah, that's right. I mean, 49ers, second time are coming, but I think...
But that's big news as well. Big Super news. Super Bowl losers, but they were there. People know about them. They're a big team that people know about in this country. Just them being here against the Jacksonville Jaguars will hopefully raise the profile of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah. I do fear, though, that we've kind of... We need the Jacksonville Jaguars to be the home team. We need 80,000 Jacksonville Jaguar, jerseys. We need 80,000 Jacksonville Jaguar fans in the stadium. I still foresee, a stadium full of 30, the 32 different jerseys, which is great for promoting the NFL in the UK.
Yeah.
Bad for our prospects of sustaining a team.
They're here for 4 years. It's going to be year on year. We need to monitor it, and hopefully it will grow. Obviously this year it's going to be the same.
Yeah.
But hopefully with repeated presence, returning to them each year, hopefully that will lead to that. You never know. But this song we'll definitely talk about another time in a bit more detail.
Yeah, we'll get into it.
And next week, then, we're going to cover the NFC. We're going to do a rundown of the NFC's draft picks. And kind of in the future, we're gonna make this a weekly podcast. Is that right? We're going to do this weekly?
We hope to do it, as weekly for as long as people listen and for as long as we're interested in it. We want to do it because it's fun. We want to do it because it's something we're enthusiastic about.
And it'd be great to get a community, of NFL fans all in one place, maybe.
That's it. So, like we've said before, Twitter, at NFL FATP, Facebook, NFL From Across the Pond, or NFL FATP at hotmail.co.uk. Send us your questions, send us your thoughts.
Please contribute to this show in any way you can, this podcast in any way you can.
We'll read out the good questions. We'll try and answer the good questions. In fact, if you could enlighten us on some things as well, that'd be great, because we don't pretend to be the source of all knowledge. This is just our thoughts and feelings. Like two guys chatting out a pub, just with a microphone.
They were a little bit more professional. We're not in a pub.
Slightly.
A pub is a bar, just if there are any...
Americans listening.
Americans listening at the moment.
Nice one, man. Well, it's great to see you.
It's been a pleasure. I look forward to doing it again.
Take care.